The secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day, a great week, a great month, and just repeat that over and over and over again.
The only person you need to be better than is the person you used to be.
To your great life game plan. I'm Dr. Scott Little. Health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. On the show, we talk about the principles of healthy aging, stress and weight management, fitness, fat burning, nutrition, chiropractic, all sorts of things that go into your lifestyle or strategy for a great life. With me, as sometimes, if not most of the time, is my lovely wife, Karen. Good day. How are you?
Howdy. I'm great. How are you?
Doing very, very well.
Good.
Hey, what was our last session on? We talked about, was the last session, did we talk about probiotics and prebiotics?
I think so.
Or have we had another session since then? I'm not real sure, but
well, I can look it up.
Well, we don't really need to look it up, but
we've done quite a bit lately. So,
well, today I want to have a discussion about coffee. Is it good or is it bad? We are daily coffee consumers, therefore, I mean, we want it to be good, but it seems like people have differing opinions on coffee. Some people say it's good and has all these health benefits, will prevent all of these diseases. Other people say it's terrible and causes all sorts of health problems. So I guess today we're going to kind of come to some level of conclusion, although I suspect that at the end of our discussion, we'll conclude that for some people, coffee's okay, and for some people, coffee's not so okay, and we'll kind of dive into that a little bit. Now, you don't want to start a day without coffee, is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, I coffee for me is like a must.
Okay. Now
I call it vitamin C.
Yeah. Well, you can you can call it that. Now that you know, one of the principles that we've talked about in the past on the show, a guy that said, Dr. George Malcolmus said, if God made it and said you could eat it, it's okay. Number two, you got to eat it in the form closest to the way God made it. And number three, don't let food become your God. He really in that warns against the idea of ever becoming addicted to food or food substances. That is a problem. Caffeine is an addictive substance.
Yeah, that is one thing. And that's why, like, once or twice a year I do, like if we do a 21-day kind of a detox kind of a thing or something like that, I will try to cut my coffee out totally, mm-hmm. completely. It's a really crummy 21 days for me because it's not just about the caffeine. It's about, I love a hot cup of coffee. I love the flavor. I enjoy
love the smell.
Coffee. I love the smell. I enjoy a cup of coffee. So it's not about the addictive substance of the caffeine. I enjoy a cup of coffee. A lot of people are like, well, you know, decaf, and I can drink decaf. I don't have any, there is no...
Now, can you do a cup of coffee? Because I see you doing a cup of coffee and then going to work and having, you know, another cup on the way out the door and maybe a third cup and so forth. Do you think you could just do one cup of coffee a day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I could. But...
You choose not to.
I choose not to.
Okay, could you do green tea?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever gone a period of time and just had green tea instead of coffee?
I think there have been a couple times that we've done something like if I'm on a 21-day detox or something and I'm just trying to get rid of any of the chemicals in any of the coffee that we've used and stuff. But that's where I'm kind of excited to talk about this because.
Okay. So let's just have full disclosure. We recently bought a French press and had never had a French press before. We've had a Keurig, and I have to admit, I am not a fan of the Keurig. And I will tell you that after my research, I am even less a fan of the Keurig unless one is buying good organic coffee and using it to make the K. I'm not a fan of the K-Cups even more after research for this session. But we do every single morning, if we can, use our French press with our organic coffee.
Right.
And then we add to that some grass-fed, free-range, unpasteurized, for dogs and cats use only.
We borrow it from
butter,
our cats.
Yes. some coconut oil. We typically add in some almond butter and some cinnamon and at least that. And then we stir that up with our blender stick, with our Cuisinart infusion blender, so that it gets nice and mixed together. Otherwise, we get what? Greasy coffee.
Greasy coffee, a layer of oil.
We just get
oil.
Nasty, nasty coffee. So that is a distinction. And obviously what we're describing it, by and large, is the similar to the recipe that Dave Asprey has with his Bulletproof coffee. You know, he has trademarked that. That's not only a recipe, but he has his own MCT oil that he uses, medium chain oil. What are the T stands for?
Trans fats?
Perhaps. I'm not real sure. Yeah, I think so. And his own brand of coffee. We do not use that. We use our own butter. We use our own coconut oil. We use our own coffee.
But we use a high-quality organic coffee.
And that's key. That's something that we're going to discuss big time. And I typically can get by with one good cup. And that gets me typically, that's really all I consume until at least 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, which kind of fits into a modified version of the intermittent fasting. If we don't eat anything past 8 o'clock or so the night before, then we can get all the way till noon. Now, especially with women, if that is absolutely not something that More women than men tend to not be able to do that. It throws off their hormones and so forth. And so sometimes ladies need to eat a little bit sooner than that. And then other ladies get really good at intermittent fasting and kick butt on that. But the reality is that just about every morning we start our morning with that coffee. Now, I will say this. I'm not a fan of Starbucks. I'm not a fan of store-bought coffee, even more so after doing this research and learning about just how much pesticides and all these different things are sprayed on commercially grown coffee. Similar to blueberries, you know, if you're going to splurge on something, you want to get organic blueberries because of all the pesticides and things that are sprayed on them. Coffee is very much the same way, and I'm confident that the coffee that one gets at any restaurant is certainly not going to be your highest grade organic coffee. So that turns out that's going to be an important factor in determining whether or not coffee is right for. And I guess before, because you had something to say, and I'm interrupting, but you know, this is what being a health coach is all about. It's not just saying coffee is bad. Every one of my clients has to go off of coffee. Every one of my clients has to do this, this, and this. It's let's see if coffee works for you, or if you're addicted to it, or if blah, blah, blah.
Which is why I'm excited. And I was going to say, I'm excited about talking about this, because in a lot of the research I did, a lot of the cons, you know, you talk pros, cons, good, bad, all this, that, and the other. Most of the cons, I will say most of the cons that I saw were all things that were either in a healthy adult, you don't have to worry about it, or it is something that if you're smart about it, you can offset it.
Well, that was kind of my take on it. One of the arguments against coffee was that it causes, that typically you're going to eat refined sugar and carbohydrates with it. You know, you have your coffee with a Danish, you have your coffee with a donut. Well, that's kind of like to me saying, you know what, you can't go to the football game tonight. Because oftentimes after a football game, you go out with the guys and have a few beers, and then you're not going to be able to go to work the next day. Well, now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean that the football game is bad. Just because you might be tempted to eat sugar and pastries and refined carbohydrates and so forth doesn't necessarily mean coffee is bad.
What's interesting is, you know, I kind of hear you saying that coffee is bad because this is what you typically eat with coffee. You know, think about it. Like you said, you eat donuts and bagels and that kind of stuff for breakfast. Or in the evening, what happens? After dinner, you have a cup of coffee. What happens with a cup of coffee? Dessert. You have sugar with that coffee. So what I hear you kind of saying is that it would lead to a diabetes issue.
Well,
the research that I saw said... Coffee, one of the pros of coffee consumption is that it actually will help prevent type 2 diabetes.
Well, there is a lot of that. You know, I went to Dr. Mercola's website. He's just got, you know, an abundance of articles, and just typed in coffee. And so here's what comes in up when you Google or do a search on Dr. Mercola's website on coffee. Daily coffee consumption may help you avoid clogged arteries. Benefits of drinking black coffee. More consensus on the health benefits of tea and coffee. Can coffee reduce suicide risk? The benefits of drinking coffee. Coffee and tea, benefits to your health. Coffee, how bad is it really? That's part two, so there must have been a part
one. Part
one
somewhere.
Yeah, coffee addiction, caffeine side effects and dangers. Can coffee lower the risk of deadly cancer?
Yeah, I mean, come on, there's stuff in here. Everything that you see, now I am seeing one that says coffee addiction, coffee side effects and dangers. But again, when I was doing a lot of my research, one of the things that I saw that was a deterrent of drinking coffee was that coffee leads to dehydration. It's a diuretic. Okay, so caffeine in general is a diuretic. It's coffee. And if you have coffee that is going to dehydrate you, you simply replace that water by drinking more water.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have a cup of water and then you're going to have a cup of coffee, you immediately want to have a cup of water to replace that coffee and not count it as your regular water intake.
Yeah.
So for every cup of caffeine that you have to drink 2 cups, one for your regular consumption, one to make up for what you lost.
Now, did you make that up or is that something
that
someone said?
No, that is something that I've actually, I don't remember where I heard that, but that is actually something that I have seen.
Because I heard something that challenged the notion that caffeine dehydrates you that much. And I don't know whether, I'm not even going to talk about that because I think it does, but I think your point is well taken. You know, your cup of coffee does not count towards the half your weight in ounces
right.
of water that you need to drink
a
day.
So, like, that's a negative. Another negative, disrupted sleep.
Well, yeah. When you said drink coffee at nighttime after dinner, I thought, are you picking nuts? I can't drink coffee after noon, or I'm up all night.
You're awake all night.
Absolutely
right.
Not.
So, I mean, that's where, like you mentioned before, the health coaching thing comes in. Some people can handle a cup of coffee in the evening. I typically am a person who I can drink a cup of coffee in the evening and it doesn't bother me and keep me awake. It does help get a little bit of a spark going in me in the morning, but it's not necessary for me to get going in the morning.
Oh, yes, it is.
It is so not necessary. Sleep is necessary.
I believe it is almost necessary. So
I'm much more pleasant after a cup of coffee than I am before a cup of coffee, but it's not needed.
Well, I guess that's
depends
where...
Depends on what you're saying. What's it needed for?
Yeah, exactly. A healthy marriage, then caffeine in coffee is necessary. Okay, so coffee can improve energy levels and make you smarter. Now, here's the deal. We need either fat or carbohydrate as our primary sources of energy, especially in the morning, because we choose to add fat to our coffee. Now, in a sense, we're not really intermittent fasting because our body is getting nutrients from the coconut oil and from the butter and from the almond butter.
Right.
And the caffeine just seems to be or the coffee rather, just is a delivery system for these healthy fats. But certainly the healthy oils and fats energize our brain,
right,
stimulate our brain. The caffeine stimulates our body. Now, I get that caffeine is a stimulant. I get that it's addictive in some people. And again, that just goes to the coaching, and we don't want people to become addicted to anything. I never drank coffee until I worked at Lost Valley Ranch, the greatest place on the planet. And my roommate, Todd Marshall, would drink a pot of coffee at a time and drink coffee all day. And I was on the mobile squad out at Lost Valley and learned to drink coffee and just really enjoyed. Like you said, I enjoyed the smell. I got to enjoy the flavor and just really started to enjoy coffee. Now, here's another benefit. It's will help you to burn fat and increase your metabolic rate. It can dramatically improve your physical performance. And there are essential nutrients in coffee. Coffee is more than just black water. Many of the nutrients in the coffee beans do make it into the final drink, and that includes vitamin B2 and vitamin B5. That's riboflavin and pantothenic acid, manganese, potassium, magnesium, niacin, all sorts of things make it into coffee. What were you
going
to say?
One of the things I saw on my list, which I don't know what you're reading from, but I went to the Health Assist blog.
Okay.
And so they provide a lot of, and I'm sure your resource does too, they provide a lot of the research articles behind all of their arguments. And so one of the things that I found supporting yours as a pro is that a typical serving of coffee contains more antioxidants than typical servings of grape juice, blueberries, raspberries, and oranges. So, and without the sugar.
Let me disclose where I'm getting my stuff from, because I think that's very important. I'm not citing it left and right, but I kind of went to three sources who I have respect for, and those three sources are Dr. Mercola at Mercola.com, Dr. Hyman, Dr. Mark Hyman at DrHyman.com, and then a gentleman whose website I go to on a daily basis for nutrition thought and nutrition articles is Authority Nutrition, authoritynutrition.com, and Chris Gunners is the author there and the owner of that site, and he does a phenomenal job, as you indicated, of referencing everything. So,
right,
you know, all of these different sites do a much better job than I do of citing my
right,
sources and so forth. And
that's where I wanted to just clarify that, because I know a lot of people say, well, you know, I heard. Well, where did you hear? And so I just wanted to say, and I know that you would be doing the same thing, that the sources that we are citing actually have the research behind it to support what they're telling us. And so consequently, you can trust that what we're telling you was supported by research. So,
okay,
anyway.
So coffee may lower your risk of type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes mm-hmm. being the fastest growing disease in American and Western world history.
Right.
Type 2 diabetes is a gigantic health problem currently affecting about 300 million people worldwide. Studies show that people who drink the most coffee have 23 to 50% lower risk of getting the disease.
And one of the things mine said was that coffee at lunchtime has the most protecting effects. So lunchtime coffee, and also, where is it? Shoot, I just lost it.
I don't have anything.
I'll go back to it.
I could sing a song.
That decaf had the same effect. So it wasn't caffeinated or decaffeinated. Both types of coffee had the same effect on diabetes.
On diabetes? Okay, so it wasn't the caffeine.
So there was something else in it that they said led to, because there was just as much incident of lowering diabetes type 2 risk in those who drank decaf coffee.
So Dr. Mark Hyman seems to be pretty much opposed to coffee. He's got a lot more on his website about avoiding coffee and reasons to avoid coffee, which is kind of interesting because he is very much at war against diabetes. You know, he's got his 10-day detox diet, the sugar something or other diet, and he has, I don't know that he coined the term diabesity, but he's the first person that I ever heard use the term diabesity, and he's
so
very
up to date on
diabetes, obesity, the epidemic.
And yet he's very opposed to coffee.
So he's got in a blog post that I'm looking here, 10 reasons to quit your coffee, and I'm not going to read the whole list. Caffeine increases your stress hormones. Habituation to caffeine decreases insulin sensitivity, which kind of just goes against what we were just saying. High blood sugar leads to arterial deterioration and increased risk of mortality related to cardiovascular disease. Unfiltered coffee has the highest amount of beneficial antioxidants, yet also leaks some chemical into your system. Diterpenes
are extracted by hot water but are retained by a paper filter.
Okay, and we don't use a paper filter because we use our right. French press.
So that's where that increases cholesterol risk.
So, okay, well, so addiction and other things that he lists as reasons to avoid coffee. So, you know, the bottom line is there are really, really smart people and a lot of research and a lot of studies to suggest that coffee is really, really good for you. And there's some research and really, really smart people that say coffee is bad for you. I think here is a major take home. Because so much of that which makes coffee bad for us is going to be the things that are sprayed on there. Dave Asprey is big, the Bulletproof Coffee guy is big into mold and mycotoxins. Did I say that right? Mold. Fungus. mycotoxins in coffee.
Micro,
and I
not
guess.
Micro?
No, myco. Not micro as in small, myco as in fungal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
or mold.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah. So coffee is very prone to lots of stuff sprayed on it and mold and so forth in it. That's one of the reasons I'm not a fan of the Keurig K-Cups, because you've got all of those. Number one, the coffee that's in there is totally saturated with pesticides and sprays and toxins. Number two, you've got the artificial flavors because you don't go to and buy just French roast. You typically get pumpkin spice latte, raspberry chocolate, mocha cream, coconut. You get all these flavors because they smell up your house, and that sounds really good, but it's poison. And it's very, very expensive. You know, each of those K-Cups is what, 75 cents to $1.50 or something like that. And, you know,
depending on what you're getting.
You know, you and I were getting those, and we'd each have two or three of them
right.
a morning. And right. so I'm not opposed to using the K-Cup if we go and get our good organic.
And you can use they have a filter.
That's what I meant. I'm not opposed to using
that. Yeah, they've got a filter that you can use so you can put your own coffee in it. So I just need to start doing that.
Yeah, I would prefer us to do that. I'm not necessarily going to throw away my French press
because
of what we were just talking about and the filter and so forth.
Well, and I think it depends because, like, even the filter that the K-Cup offers, that's not a paper filter. So it's still going to be, you're still going to have the same drawback to the cholesterol level increasing diterpenes that you mentioned.
Yeah, diterpenes.
one of the things, I want to go through this Health Assist blog and the, it gives 11, I add a 12th benefit of the pros of drinking coffee. And the reason I want to do this is because some of them are going to hit home with people. Because there are some very common things in here. I mean, a couple of them you'll know exactly that hit me. The first one, we talked about antioxidants. The second one, diabetes. The third one was strong evidence that regular coffee consumption reduces the risk of Parkinson's disease.
And Alzheimer's.
So that's another one. Liver protection. Coffee drinking may protect against liver cirrhosis, especially alcoholic cirrhosis. And there is a study that found a 22% reduced risk of developing alcoholic cirrhosis for each cup of coffee drunk per day. So I have a lot of alcohol consumption to overcome.
There you go. So
I need the coffee.
In your distant past.
In my distant past,
just in case somebody's listening to this session for the first time and they don't want one of them to get the impression that...
In my distant past, yes.
Don't want people to get the impression that Karen is an active drinker. And
Nope.
So, but in your past, yeah, so...
Gallstones, kidney stones, gout. These are all things that coffee... There's again, research that backs up each of the things that I'm saying on here. Work performance. Well, obviously, it's an energy increaser. So if you have more coffee, then you're going to get more work done. Asthma. There is a... the caffeine in coffee is related to theophylline, which is an old asthma medication. And it can improve airways function modestly for up to 4 hours and improve asthma symptoms. So allergy and exercise-induced asthma, which is what I struggle with, you know, is it ragweed that's so high right now?
Currently.
You know, I've been struggling lately a little bit more with my asthma. So, you know, having a cup of coffee isn't a bad idea for me. Like you mentioned, Alzheimer's disease, it also helps protect against retinal damage and prevents with that. And then the number 12 one I wanted to add was that it helps with migraines. I don't know if you've ever seen. And this is just my addition. So, you know, disclaimer, my addition, no research to back it up. However, what I can tell you is the number one ingredient in Excedrin migraine is caffeine, 60 milligrams of caffeine. So caffeine helps with migraines as well.
I think the bottom line will kind of wrap up here in just a moment is that a lot of people can get addicted to coffee and caffeine. Caffeine is a stimulant. Coffee is prone to lots and lots and lots of chemical alteration in the form of not only pesticides sprayed on there, but certainly all of the artificial flavors and sweeteners and chemicals. And, you know, if you were really to go to your favorite coffee shop this time of year and know really what was in your pumpkin spice latte or your white chocolate mocha lacchino paca, I don't even know what all that crud is.
not to mention just the amount of sugar in them.
You would be amazed at, yes, mm-hmm. the amount of sugar, the amount of toxic chemicals, the amount of all of these things. It amazes me that people will go to these places and walk out with, you know, 600 calories of nothing. But
absolutely.
Pure junk and toxicity, yep. and sugar, and you know it, and it's so socially acceptable. You know, it's socially acceptable in all walks of life. I think you're just a heathen if you question the sanctity of.
How dare you think I shouldn't go to Starbucks?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a potential problem for mm-hmm. people. You know, and I get that people call it $5 for a reason, and that people spend $5 to $10 a day oftentimes at Starbucks and or any of these other coffee shops. You know, not to just single them out, but the reality is that while coffee has the potential of being bad for us, there is an abundance of research that indicates that it may actually be good for us. Yeah. As you said, may lower the risk of Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's and certain cancers. And it's a great source of antioxidants. And you know, one thing somebody said in one of the three sites that I've got up right now is that it may be the number one source of antioxidants for a lot of people.
Yeah, same.
I'm going to throw the yellow flag there. Now, just because something is the most source of antioxidants in some people, these are people
I'm going to guess what you're going to say.
Yeah, these people need kale.
You're going to say it's not the best, maybe
yeah,
the
it
most,
doesn't make it,
but
it may
not
be the most, but you know, that doesn't necessarily make it the best.
And, you know, and that's where, I mean, you've got to look at this stuff. And like you said before, and like we both condone, you've got to talk to somebody about, get a health coach who can help you, you know, get a hold of us. We can help you determine what's going to be a good option for you. Maybe you're not looking at, like I said, I go through every about 6 months or so, I do a coffee detox and I don't do any coffee, I might do herbal tea in the evening, but I don't do coffee because I do want to get myself detoxed from any potential chemicals. Mm-hmm. And
you're liable to have a headache for a couple of days.
And I am. But here's the thing. I also know that, one, if I wean myself off, which for me, if I have a cup of coffee, I might get a light headache during the day. But if I have at least one cup of coffee, I should be fine. I enjoy more than that because I like coffee. But, you know, so that's what I'm saying. But some people, if they have 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day, the idea of having only 1 or 2, holy cow, the headache they're going to have. So maybe weaning yourself off, and that's where having a health coach is going to be able to help you to understand what is good, what is bad, and understand the term that we always talk about, and that is moderation.
Oh, I hate that. You're in time out.
No, that's why I said help you understand the term moderation.
Yeah. Help to somebody to define what moderation really is.
Exactly.
Because, you know, is moderation a pot? Is it 2 pots a day?
Exactly.
I hate that term, but you're okay.
I justified it. I made it clear what I was saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's our bottom line. I am going to continue on most days to start my morning with a cup of coffee, organic coffee, made through my French press, added butter and coconut oil and almond butter and cinnamon. And I'm probably not going to eat a whole lot more until lunchtime, and 1 cup's probably all I need. I certainly am not one who could ever consider having any more later in the day, and I'm pretty cool with that right now, and I'm pretty cool with using that strategy with some of my clients, provided they are not completely addicted to caffeine and going through a drive-through place where they're getting a lot of added stuff to their inorganic, heavily sprayed coffee. So, you know, I think coffee definitely is one of those things that, is it good, is it bad? Well, that's a loaded question. And, you know, I encourage people to go to some of these websites. What was your website that you referenced?
Health Assist.
.com.
Yeah, it was a really good blog that they have. I mean, it's going to be a website that I probably frequent because they had a lot of really good information on there.
Well, and I really like Authority Nutrition. Chris Gunners is the owner of that website, and he's got a lot of highly credentialed people also contributing to his website. I love Dr. Mercola's work and his team, and I love Dr. Hyman and his mm-hmm. team. And,
yeah, I like
and
both
so,
of those guys too.
It just, the bottom line becomes, we have to just decide on an individual basis where coffee fits into one's strategy for a great life. The secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day, a great week, a great month, and just repeat that over and over again.
And
for a lot of people, coffee is a great way of starting a day. So,
and for some people, coffee is a safe way for you to make sure anyway, I was going somewhere with that about marriage and, you know, like you said,
marriage,
having a healthy marriage, you know, we were referencing my need for coffee.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah,
it was going to be goofy, but it ended up not making sense. So never mind.
So, you know, a great place to buy coffee is at Thrive Market.
Yep.
And
ThriveMarket.com.
A great way to find Thrive Market, pretty please, would be to go to our websites, drscottlittle.com or karenlittle.me. And click on the little links there and go check out what they're doing over there at Thrive Market. You join kind of like a Costco meets health food store in that you join for a year and then get everything at 35 to 50% off delivered straight to your door. They've got 4,000 healthy items. And yeah.
One of the thing that I love, that I really love about it, I mean, other than, yeah, the money savings, is that for every membership that they get, they give a membership to a family in need so that people can afford to get healthy items. So, you know, when you sign up for that year membership, you're actually helping give a membership to an underprivileged family.
Yep, kind of like Tom's Shoes and other things. It's a great business model, and we really like Thrive Market. So please yep. Go to that. Hey, Karen is writing blogs on a regular basis, so go check out karenlittle.me and mm-hmm. subscribe to her blog and subscribe to our podcast. We would be honored if you can give us a review over at iTunes. We'd really appreciate a good review and subscribe. And my website is drscottlittle.com. I'd be honored to help you in any way that I can. That's a great way to contact me, and I'd be happy to talk to you about maybe some of our health coaching services and help you to create your strategy for living an optimally healthy life. Again, health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being. And our goal is to help you to create your own strategy or game plan for a healthy life. So, for my beautiful wife, Karen, who's off to go use our French press and make some coffee, I am Dr. Scott Little. The show is Your Great Life Game Plan. The secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day and just repeat that over and over and over again. Go out and make it a great day.